my name is Chrissy, and this is Pentacles and Tentacles. It is a podcast about basically whatever we want to talk about. Typically, I am joined by Shelby, but she had a brain aneurysm. So, she will be back eventually. And she's fine. If you don't know what happened, you can listen to 2 episodes ago, which would be episode 18. And I describe everything that happens in there and with her brain and what happened. But I don't want to talk about it right now. But I will talk about Shelby is coming home soon. I think she's coming home this weekend. From what I can tell, she's still going to buy me Subway for saving her life. Because Subway is my favorite food. Which is not healthy. But that brings me to, we're going to try a different format. Just so I'm not talking to myself whenever Shelby returns, and I don't think she's going to be fully ready to jump in and do her research yet, just because I don't want her to strain her eyes any more than they already bother her. So she is just going to be listening to me tell her stories. So it will be kind of normal, but no story from her, just me telling stories. Which will be nice to have someone else to talk to and not me talking to my wall, which is still weird. I guess I could talk to my hamster, which brings me to the other thing. I got a hamster 2 months ago. I'm a little late on telling everyone. I might have already said it, but her name is Cannoli, and she's weird. I'd never had a hamster before. I've only had guinea pigs, and hamsters are really weird, but she really likes cream cheese, so I can relate to her. Alright, so this is episode 20, and Shelby and I typically do, or we've only ever done one of these before, but every 10 episodes we do a big bad serial killer, and since I am by myself on this episode 20, I decided to do Nanny Doss, which is still a big bad serial killer, just not as notorious, I guess, as the big ones like Bundy, and we did Dahmer, I think, for the number 10. Yeah, I think we did Dahmer for number 10. But this is a story of Nanny Doss. I got most of my information from Murderpedia. And if you don't know what Murderpedia is, it's basically just a bunch of different websites combined. So they take all the information from a bunch of different sources and combine them onto one page for each murderer. And it's really nice, and donate to them if you can, because they help me a lot. All right, so let's just jump right into this. Nanny Doss is also known as the Giggling Grandma, the Lonely Hearts Killer, and the Jolly Widow, and the Black Widow. Oh, and also Lady Bluebeard, which I don't really understand that one. Which is just a little piratey, and I just don't understand why she's named Lady Bluebeard. I should probably Google that and see why. A local newspaper did refer to her as a self-made widow. She was dubbed the Giggling Grandma and the Jolly Widow because she continued to laugh and chuckle during her police interrogation, even while she was describing the deaths of the people she killed. A small fun fact, if that's what you want to call it, is that Nanny apparently really loved prunes. And I've only met 2 or 3 people in my life that like prunes. So this was a very weird fact to me. This love of prunes helped her later in life because they became one of her favorite ways of committing homicide. She would put rat poison on the prunes and feed them to people, and then they died. She didn't use this method for every one of her victims, but it was apparently one of her favorites. It is said that Nanny killed 4 husbands, her mother, 2 of her 4 daughters, a mother-in-law, and other family members. She killed somewhere between 8 and 11 people, but she was only convicted of 1 murder. And this is the life of Nanny Doss. Nancy Hazel, who went by Nanny, was born on November 4th, 1905, so she's a Scorpio. Which makes me sad. But she was born in Blue Mountain, Alabama. Her parents were James and Lou Hazel, and she was one of five children. She had one brother and three sisters. Her father, James, was pretty strict and pretty controlling as a parent and as a husband. Nanny and her mother both hated James. There was some evidence that Nanny was conceived illegitimately, as James and Lou were not married until after 1905. And the census records from that time show that Nanny and her mother were living on their own in 1905. Nanny had a pretty unhappy childhood. Her education was erratic due to her father forcing all of the children to work on the family farm instead of attending school. This made Nanny a pretty poor student. When Nanny was around 7 years old, she was on a train ride to go visit some relatives in southern Alabama when the train had suddenly stopped and she hit her head. After this, she suffered from headaches, blackouts, and depression. She blamed these ailments and her mental instability on this incident, which kind of brings me to another instance of a lot of murderers and serial killers have had head injuries. I know specifically I have talked about one that I can fully remember was Gary Heidnik. In the first episode we ever did, Gary fell from a tree at the age of 6, and after a quick Google search, it looks like a handful of other notorious serial killers also had head injuries at young ages, and there are a couple different studies out there looking at the connection between the head injuries and violence later in life. I know, like, multiple concussions can lead to it. Apparently, obviously, concussions are not good anyway. So, during Nanny's childhood, her favorite hobby was reading her mother's romance magazines and imagining her own romantic future. She had dreams of finding her own Prince Charming. Later on, the Lonely Hearts column became her favorite section to read. As a teenager, her father wouldn't let her wear makeup or wear any sort of attractive clothing. This was an attempt to prevent them from being molested by men. The girls were also not allowed to go to any social events or dances. So this just adds up to, like, her craving more of that romance. I mean, I don't really know. Do you get romance in high school? I didn't, but that's just me. So when I continue, I will talk about the murders, basically, of Nanny Doss. But here is a quick little ad first. And we're back to Nanny Doss. She got married first at the age of 16. She married Charlie Braggs. They met at a linen thread factory where they both worked, and after 4 months of dating, they married. Her father did approve of this marriage, and Nanny wrote the following about this. The grammar in this is really bad, so I'm not gonna say it exactly how she wrote it because it doesn't sound right. But she said, "I married, as my father wished, in 1921 to a boy I only knew about 4 or 5 months who had no family, only a mother who was unwed and who had taken over my life completely when we were married. She never saw anything wrong with what he had done, but she would take spells. She would not let my own mother stay all night." Like Nanny wrote in that above thing that I just read, Charlie's mother took up most of his attention, and she prevented Nanny from doing most things that she wanted to do. Over the 4 years, Nanny did have 4 daughters, and her casual habit of drinking and smoking turned into a pretty heavy addiction. Overall, the marriage was pretty unhappy, and they both correctly suspected each other of infidelity. Braggs often disappeared for days on end. Braggs had suspected Nanny of killing them, and he left. He took their oldest daughter, Melvina, with him. He left the newborn daughter, Florine, behind with Nanny. It was also during this time that Braggs' mother had died. So I'm wondering if that has to do with Braggs leaving, other than the fact that his wife murdered their children. During this time, Doss started working at the cotton mill to support herself and Florine. I always want to say fluoride. I won't, but I want to. During the summer of 1928, Braggs returned with Melvina and another woman. She had another kid, and she was a divorced woman as well, I believe. Braggs and Doss divorced, and Nanny moved back into her mother's house with her two daughters. So Melvina and Florine both stayed with her then. Braggs always maintained that he left Nanny because he was frightened of her. And this is when Nanny began reading true romance and other romance genres to help her cope with her loneliness. She took comfort in reading the Lonely Hearts column, and she began writing to men who were advertising on there. In the Lonely Hearts column, an advert from Robert Frank Harrelson caught her attention. He was a 23-year-old factory worker from Jacksonville, and he would send her romantic poetry, and she sent him a cake. Very romantic. They met, and they married in 1929, when she was 24, and this was just about 2 years after her divorce. They lived together in Jacksonville with Nanny's two daughters. A few months into their marriage, she discovered that he was an alcoholic and he had a criminal record of assault. Regardless, this marriage lasted for 16 years. And just a fair warning, from this point forward, I will be talking about some murders other than the food poisoning ones. Nanny came to help with the birthing process, and Melvina gave birth to him after a few hours of painful labor. Unfortunately, he died soon after. Melvina, who was exhausted from the labor and groggy from the anesthesia that was used, thought she saw Nanny stick a hat pin into the baby's head. She later told this to her husband, Mosey, and Florine, her sister. The doctors could not come up with a reason for the baby's death. After the death, Mosey and Melvina began drifting apart, and she began dating a soldier, which Nanny did not approve of. And after a nasty fight with Nanny, Melvina went to go visit her father. It was during this time that her son, Robert, I guess she had another son, he died under Nanny's care in 1945. The cause of death was asphyxia from unknown causes. And then two months later, Nanny collected the $500 life insurance policy that she put on the child. And $500 in 1945 is $7,235. I don't understand inflation, but it fascinates me. So back to Nanny's marriage. After Japan surrendered to the Allied powers in 1945, her husband, Harrelson, partied pretty hard to celebrate this. This was pretty common when this happened. And after an evening of heavy drinking, he raped Nanny. Since the rape had been the final straw, she topped the bottle off with rat poison. Later that night, he died a slow and painful death. Nanny met her third husband through the Lonely Hearts column, and she married him 3 days later after meeting him in Lexington, North Carolina. His name was Arlie Lanning, and much like Harrelson, he was an alcoholic, and a lot of articles described him as a womanizer. Nanny was the one who would disappear on multiple occasions for months on end in this relationship, unlike her previous marriages, I guess. When she returned home, she played the loving housewife, and when her husband died of heart failure, the whole town went to his funeral to support her. After his death, their house had burned to the ground. It had been left to Lanning's sister, but the insurance money went to Doss, so she collected the money and quickly banked it. Soon after this, she left North Carolina, but only after Lanning's elderly mother died. Lanning's mom died in her sleep. I can speak, it's fine. Doss ended up going to her sister Dovey's house. Dovey was bedridden at this time, and shortly after Doss arrived, Dovey had died. Nanny joined the Diamond Circle Club looking for her husband number four. She met Robert L. Morton of Emporia, Kansas, and unlike her other husbands, he did not have a drinking problem, but he was still a womanizer. Gotta keep with the themes. Nanny ended up poisoning her own mother, Lou, in January of 1953, when she came to live with them. Morton died 3 months later. Samuel Doss was Nanny's final husband. She met him in Tulsa, Oklahoma in June of 1953. She moved on pretty quickly. Samuel was a clean-cut churchgoer, and he disapproved of the romance novels that Nanny loved. In September of 1953, Samuel was admitted to the hospital with flu-like symptoms and diagnosed with a digestive tract infection. The night of his release on October 5th, Nanny killed him in a rush to collect the two life insurance policies that she had taken out on him, and the doctor ordered an autopsy. The autopsy revealed a huge amount of arsenic in his system, and this resulted in the pretty quick arrest of Nanny Doss. Overall, Doss confessed to killing four of her husbands, her mother, her sister Dovey, her grandson Robert, her mother-in-law, and possibly other. Those are the only ones she confessed to, but then there's other ones that she might not have confessed to. The state of Oklahoma focused... Oklahoma, did I say that right? I don't know. The state of Oklahoma focused solely on the murder of Sam. She was found mentally fit to stand trial, and she pleaded guilty on May 17th, 1955. She was sentenced to life in prison because the state did not pursue the death penalty because she was a woman. Doss was never charged with any of the other deaths, and in 1965, she died from leukemia in the hospital ward of the Oklahoma State Penitentiary. The pretty quick story. It's pretty clean cut with Nanny Doss. She just killed people for money. She had all these life insurance policies out, which now probably never could happen because of the way things are recorded, but Nanny got away with it for quite a long time, and she killed most of her husbands and her family, which is sad, and a baby, apparently. And that's the quick ending to that. So maybe next time when I record another episode, Shelby will be here, so I won't be talking to my wall. And that's pretty much it. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great day. Bye!